Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
We are here in Fukuoka and we are here with Chris Latham. There is a storm brewing and there is a storm coming for this country. You wouldn't know it looking out the window today, but it's not great when you have World Cup matches on a pivotal weekend, Chris, being postponed. And you were just saying that even from Simone's perspective, you've got interest in this.
Yeah, I guess for our pool, you know, we've got a lot to play for. Obviously, this week's game against Ireland is huge for us. It's a chance for a tier two nation to knock off a tier one, and you know, we're treating it and we've prepared as such. So we're really hoping the game doesn't get called off. And again, it's just one of those things. You know, there's community safety and things like that needs to be. Needs to be obviously looked at, but again, from a pure rugby point of view, you know, we're really looking forward to this game, and we've prepared as if it's a game that we really want to win.
We're going to be safe down here in Fukuoka. It's more the rest of Pule up in Yokohama that's under a severe threat, it seems, on Sunday. Talk to us about your World Cup experience so far. Have you enjoyed it, and what have you gained from a coaching perspective being involved with Samoa?
Yeah, totally different to a player. Definitely. When you come to World Cups as a player, you know, you're solely focused on making sure yourself that you're physically and mentally prepared as best you can be, whilst obviously then trying to contribute back to the team as well. As a coach, you're pretty much focused on making sure everyone else is physically and mentally prepared, and they're doing what they can to give back to the team. So it's good to see both sides of it. I've learned a lot, continuing to learn a lot, but most importantly, it's a great job. It's even hard to call it a job, really. It is really that enjoyable.
It's refreshing to hear a coach talking about loving their job so much, because sometimes people can get caught in so much of a focus, the stresses of a coach, a day-to-day kind of life of that, especially in a World Cup. But clearly, you're loving it. Clearly, you're thriving in the role.
There's more to life, really, isn't there? There's more serious things. I take it very seriously, and it is a game, you know. But ultimately, you know, even as a player, you know, it wasn't life or death. It's a game of rugby. And I think the more you can relax and the more you can have fun with it, you know, I generally believe the better you play and the better you prepare and the happier the squad, again, the better the performances. There's no need to rant and rave and get all stressed out about, you know, things that might not be perfect or things that you might want to be better. It's just about making sure the environment's fun and there's enjoyment, and if we're all doing that, then, you know, I'm more than positive the performances will come.
Have you had any frustrations around, because there's been a lot of talk of tier two nations probably not getting enough of support and the schedule that their games, have you been frustrated any bit by that?
Well, yes, it gets frustrating, but
they're very talented players.
They
are, aren't they?
They are, and you know, when you've got a 4-day turnaround to get to your next game, and within that 4-day turnaround, you've got a 4.5-hour bus trip as well included in that as travel. You know, it is frustrating, but again, there's no point hanging on to it, and there's no point dwelling on it, because it ain't going to change. It is what it is at the moment. It'd be lovely if we could get those changes, if we could get fairness across the board for all tier nations, whether it's two or one or three or whatever it is. And, you know, we would love, like we had this week, a 7-day turnaround. So again, yeah, there are all those things, and there's reasons for it, and there's, you know, there's probably a lot of reasons that I don't know about and will never understand about either. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we've just got to get our head down, work hard, enjoy what we're doing, and get on with it, because it is what it is.
Yeah, from what we see, and from the Northern Hemisphere, the Pacific nations are incredibly talented. We saw Fiji against Wales last night. Some of your performance against Japan, and the individual talent. So I think it's it would be for the benefit of the rugby if that gap was closed and the tier two nations you know, were, I wouldn't say more competitive, because they're very competitive, but more consistent maybe in their performances.
Yeah, I think consistency is probably the key word there. Yeah, we'd love the consistency of being able to have players to build for a World Cup for 4 years.
They're all overseas, though. It's a challenge.
They're all overseas. You know, we don't know who's going to be available. I mean, we've had guys that have come in, got their team kit, and then all of a sudden have turned around and said, oh, I've just got a call from my manager, and, you know, I've been told if I'm playing, then I lose it. So they've got to go. So again, you know, there's a lot of challenges that we have. But again, like I said, there's no point getting down in the dumps about it. We can't change that. So we've just got to move forward and be positive. And again, it's something that I've really enjoyed as a coach, to be able to adapt, think quick on your feet, dealing with different cultures, different personalities, people coming in and out. So, you know, whilst there are those challenges, again, there's the positives to them, and they're good learning curves.
Are there ever any challenges when it comes to actually getting young players, young talented players, and getting them to put on the Samoan jersey in the final place? Because sometimes there are stories about Pacific Islanders getting poached by New Zealand at a young age, getting them to play schools rugby and bring them up and to become All Blacks. Is that a challenge that you've experienced? Granted, I know you're only involved with the top senior men's team.
Yeah, well, if you've only got to look at Samoa's greatest import and their greatest export for the country is rugby. You know, they export their players out as rugby players to import, obviously, when they send money home to their families. So, you know, again, you know, we all play this sport for a reason. Some play it for the love, some play it for the opportunities, some play it for the money. There's no right or wrong in the reason. Some play it for all of the above. But ultimately, you know, these guys are looking to provide a better life for their family. So you can't begrudge anyone for what they're doing. And you know, ultimately, there's Samoan guys playing for England, for Australia, for New Zealand, for Ireland. So at the end,
it's difficult. It is. To Samoa, and I've seen it, and I've seen the passion and joy that they have that you're talking about. You played like that. I was looking back at some of your clips, 5 tries in 2003 against Namibia. Your World Cup memories, I saw Clarkey interviewing you, Greg Clark, and you always spoke about, even your career, how lucky you were. Why do you think you were lucky? What about the talent?
Because I truly believe, and even still now as a coach, that I'm very lucky and privileged to have these opportunities. I guess you look outside today and... Yeah, and I generally did think this and have this moment of when I was out on the pitch waiting for the boys to come out, and I just looked around and I thought, there's no way I'd want to be in an office today. There's no way I'd want to be anywhere else but standing on this field waiting to train. So I had those same feelings as a player. I felt very privileged and lucky to be able to represent the teams that I did, and to experiences the experiences I had, whether it be Bledisloe, Tri Nations, World Cup, Super Rugby, you know, all those things.
And you could have had it with Munster as well if you just signed for us.
that's a different story.
It was close, so
what
was
happened there?
To be honest, it's probably one of my biggest regrets in life. Whoa. Because I, not that I didn't go to Munster, because I did the wrong thing by someone who I respect and dearly, and Alan Gaffney, who was the coach at the time. I honestly did verbally say to him that I will go to Munster, and then the pressures of staying in Australia, the pressures of family, the pressures of the community in Brisbane, you know, all that got on top of me, and you know, I didn't handle that well.
That can happen, though.
Yeah, and I didn't handle it well, and I let someone down that... invested a lot of time into me, and I felt who meant a lot to me, and I let that person down. Obviously, we've mended bridges and we've spoken, and that's been dealt with. But again, whenever that gets brought up, I have a little cringe in the back of my mind of, you know, that is a massive regret, but it's something, you know, I've learned a lot from, and I've made sure that that's never happened again.
That's part and parcel of the journey for all players.
Yes.
I think they make decisions on where they should and shouldn't go and stay and all that. Looking ahead to the game, Chris, you've obviously, from an Irish point of view, we're interested in what you're taking take is from Ireland, and I know you can't give the game away and say, well, we're going to target them here, here and here, but what is your, having played against Ireland, you know the kind of culture there, and looking at this Irish side and maybe in the last 18 months looking back at them, where do you think their strengths are and weaknesses, and just give us an assessment of what you think they've, because we're trying to figure out where they're at the moment, because they started so well against Scotland,
yep,
and have struggled. Obviously Japan and Russia was a bit stop start as well.
Yeah, I think you know, the biggest thing with Ireland is they're a very passionate, proud rugby nation and or country, and so again, that alone, you know, if that is being able to brought to the top, you know you're in for a tough game.
And emotion is important,
exactly,
isn't it, for any team? If you get that emotion high,
if they bring that emotion, you know they're going to bring that physicality. They bring the physicality, you know they're going to get front ball. If they get front ball, that's when an Irish team is extremely dangerous. So again, yeah, like you said, you know, I thought Six Nations, they were playing some pretty good footy. Up, you know, it was up and down, but they showed signs of some pretty good.
What they did in 2018 was incredible, winning a Grand Slam,
yeah,
series in Australia, beating the All Blacks, and then we hit this kind of bit of a wall in
which
in
can
Six
happen,
Nations,
which
yeah,
can happen if you know you look at
you've
the
been
comparisons.
Successful teams.
Yeah, you look at the comparisons. I guess I'm talking from a Samoan point of view. You know, whilst we don't have that ability to have those preparations 2-3 years out, also we don't have that risk of, I guess, overdoing things and burning yourself out. And getting to a point where I think, to me, it looked like Ireland started to overcomplicate things, tried to get too pretty with things, where, you know, if you look at the traditional Irish way of playing, it's very straightforward, very hard, but yet very clinical. And as soon as they started to overcomplicate things, I felt that the clinical aspect of their game started to fall away. So again, you know, are we taking them lightly. We're prepared this week for a very physical contest. We're prepared for them to throw everything at us, because ultimately they need to come away with a bonus point win to feel as though they're going to be safe. So we've got to make sure we're on our game, because they are going to come out and they're going to throw everything at us. And again, we feel that mentality also, we can turn that into our advantage. And if we do the things that we've trained, if we do the things that we know we believe will work, you know, we can turn what they're trying to make as their positive into an actual negative.
Do you think part of your approach, and particularly against Ireland, is maybe to have some structure yourselves, maybe to play some territory, your kicking game important? You can't take away the natural flair of a Samoan player who will attack from anywhere.
Yep.
But Ireland tend to punish teams who make mistakes, and so is your approach different to that? Because you played some incredible rugby in this World Cup, but sometimes drop pass and offload and
yep,
the opposition punish you.
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, we've got some you know, we've got a game plan that we believe if we execute and execute well, we know we will be successful. But again, as you've pointed out, we need to execute, and that is paramount to us. Is if we stick to it, if we don't get bored with our tactics and start to move away from those tactics, then, and we stay on track, yeah, I truly believe that we can get a really good upset. But yeah, that comes down to the boys and the way they play on the field.
How difficult must it be for a coach like Joe Schmidt to get back to basics when you mention things like overcomplicating things or trying to take that step forward from 2018? Is it a case where the horse is almost bolted in some respects from a coaching perspective?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, that can be that for me, it's a mindset. For me, it's clarity in what you're trying to achieve throughout your whole squad. It's confidence in what you're doing. And again, it comes down to the understanding. So if you've got the understanding, you've got the clarity, and then you've got the confidence, you know, things can change overnight. Things can change from day to day. It's a funny thing, rugby. You know, it's confidence and front foot and being on top of things is very difficult to achieve. But once you get it, it's a beautiful ride to be able to sit on and enjoy. But as hard as it is to get, it's probably 10 times as quick to lose. And and it's one of those things that you've just got to make sure you stay on top of, and you've got to continually keep working on those things.
Are you expecting a physical intense approach from Ireland this week, given that they're on the back of some negative performances and maybe a bit of pressure, because World Cups is pressure, and there's pressure on Ireland because they came into the tournament as world number one, a little bit of a flawed system, we would say, as Irish people. But are you expecting a bit of an aggressive approach, an intense approach? What are you saying to your boys about that?
Yeah, well, you know, they'd be silly if they're not talking about the fact that it's a Samoan team. They are big, they are physical, they are going to bring the game to you. And, you know, it's no surprise that teams have got to match. You know, when you talk about teams in that sense, the teams you're preparing, you need to make sure that you match that. And not only match it, you overcome that and you conquer that with your own physical presence.
I don't necessarily mean the physicality. I mean Ireland mentally needing a performance. And sometimes mentioned the emotion where you know, if you lose a game, Chris, with the Reds or Australia, the following week you're a little bit more up for it and more intense. And I think we're expecting Ireland to approach it like that. Are you? And how will you cope with that if they're really, really, really up for this game?
Well, like I said, you know, we're expecting that. That is our whole sense around Ireland is they're mentally and physically going to have to go for it, because they're going to need 5 points out of this game. So they're going to bring their game. They're going to bring their A game. And like I said, our game plan, if we execute it to the way we need to, hopefully we'll turn their game plan into probably a negative for them. So again, it's just one of those things that we've just got to make sure that we execute, and we execute well, because we do believe they're going to come at us like in that mindset, sharp physical encounter.
If I could get you, before you wrap up, Chris, just to put back on your player's hat for a little while. I was chatting to Shane Williams yesterday, who was going through his favourite wingers, or the best wingers that he's seen in World Cup 2019. If we shift that to fullbacks for a moment, has there anybody that stood out to you? Granted, I know that your focus on Samoa at the moment, and perhaps watching other games hasn't been top of your priority list.
Oh, mate, to be honest, I've really enjoyed working with Tim Nanai-Williams.
He's a talent, isn't he?
Oh, mate, he's a guy that I'm constantly telling him, just get your hands on the ball. Because you sit back and you watch teams, and rugby at the moment is all about line speed. From an attacking coach's point of view, you're continuously looking at, from opposition, is defences bring line speed. And I continually watch, when Tim has the ball, defences will stop. And they have to stop, because if they keep coming, he's got the ability, the footwork, the playing ability to put guys into space. So again, you know, I've really thoroughly enjoyed watching, coaching him, but then also watching him.
Last night, he played in the wing, incredible.
Yeah, he was on the wing, but again, gee whiz, wouldn't you like to put him at fullback and see him work both sides of the ruck? Yeah. Just being able to do that.
You liked that unstructured stuff as a player, didn't you? You just wanted to run, not kick necessarily.
No, I just love the fact that if you can get a ruck in the centre of the field, and from a running fullback's point of view, you know, you can just pick and choose where the defence aren't or where they are, but where the slower guys are, and then you get that opportunity to work them over. So again, just getting those guys that have got fantastic footwork, fantastic ability with their vision, but not only that, guys that are comfortable carrying the ball in two hands and having all options open to them and having the ability to execute is that's what I love about rugby.
Well, we have David Nussafora is the head of the rugby program in the IRFU. We've Stephen Larkham in Munster now.
Munster, yes.
So we mightn't rule out Chris Latham in Irish rugby in a few years as a coach. Well, if you beat us on Saturday, your stock will rise in the Northern Hemisphere anyway.
So Ireland will go from number one, and I might jump into number one, you think?
Possible, yeah. Possible. Anyway, thanks, Chris, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Good luck.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.